There are a lot of moving pieces right now as it relates to the cattle industry as a whole. So if we had to pick out, I guess, some of the high points of what we know at this point that can help cattle producers throughout this time of the coronavirus outbreak, downward markets, et cetera, help me kind of recap what we know for sure at this point.
Well, this whole week has been just crazy, a turn of events, and trying to figure out how we best prioritize things. First and foremost, we wanted to make sure that packing plants stayed open. So there was definitely work on Sunday and into Monday, making sure that USDA would deem food inspection service and those plant meat inspectors to be critically important and necessary to keep food production going in this country. And so those were initial conversations. We also were dealing kind of on the food security part and making sure that we're hearing what's going on in the retail and supply chain portion, what's going on and how they're able to or not be able to get product into their grocery store and their retail outlets. So we've been evaluating all of that. But the reality is cattle prices have plummeted. We've taken some very significant losses since the first of the year, and a lot of it was due to speculation of what would happen with this coronavirus and trade issues, as well as what happens if it hits the United States, which it has. And so now we've kind of switched over to working with elected officials and figuring out what makes sense and how can we support cattle producers during this time. You know, it's pretty unheard of when you have beef demand so strong in the grocery store, yet the futures market for the cattle products are you know, significantly down. And so trying to make sure that there's some sort of safety net in place for cattle farmers and ranchers. And that's kind of how we've switched over the last, you know, 24, 48 hours into what makes sense. And it sounds like there's some potential bills that are being introduced. We've been in contact with elected officials from Minnesota who have heard about some of these and or want to know our take on it. And we're hoping that we can get some sort of support for cattle farmers and ranchers in the form of, you know, maybe something like the market facilitation payments that were used when we were going through some of these trade issues earlier this year. And something that would make sense from an administrative standpoint that they can easily kind of pick up and run with, because everybody's kind of strapped from a agency standpoint, as well as how do we administer some of these programs to make sure that it's fair and equitable and makes sense from, you know, the producer standpoint as well.
And so, Karen, I know with mainstream media, a lot of people are aware of some of the national, you know, regulations, guidelines that have been put in place. But is there anything state specific that farmers and ranchers need to know about?
So state specific, we're working as well with Minnesota Department of Agriculture and their meat inspection service. Making sure that, again, they are realizing the value that they have and making sure that we have a safe and you know, available food supply. We're also trying to evaluate with those agencies what is critically important and how can we as agriculture in Minnesota do our part to maybe, you know, limit exposure that's not necessary and yet also make sure that things are open that need to stay open. So those are dialogues that are happening on the side, and everybody's been super open to seeing some of these angles of the issue that they hadn't thought about. And that's what I've learned a lot about this last week is sometimes you think one thing and you forgot about those five other things that really would have a detrimental effect on our industry if they were to stop.
And Karen, while it seems like virtually the entire world is slowly shutting down to help stop this spread, we can still get those all-important beef products, you know, into our homes. And so what are some of the efforts that on the council side you guys are doing to keep that demand for beef strong?
Yeah, I mean, we had some plans as to how we would be marketing beef in our usual marketing plan, and some of that makes sense and some of it doesn't make sense anymore. So we've shifted and we've talked a lot internally and started to roll some campaigns out that really focus on people are going to be needing to prepare beef at home, feeding their families. There's not going to be a lot of food service talk except for some takeout options. And so we're really focusing on healthy, nutritious, easy recipes that can be done in your home. You know, within my own personal circle of friends, I'm amazed as to how many have been reaching out and saying, you know, I just grabbed a couple of these cuts at the grocery store because it was what was available, and I'm not used to it. What should I make with it? How should I prepare it? So we're providing some Q&As and getting consumers the answers that they need for some good recipes. And I guess first and foremost, we also just want to make sure that people realize that beef is still being produced. Beef is still going to be coming into their grocery stores. We have to be realistic in that folks kind of stocked up on a month's worth of supply when they went to the grocery store and found product. And so this will get back to normal and we will have shelves stocked. It's not unheard of here in Minnesota to go to a grocery store and see the meat case virtually empty. And that's not indicative that there will not be a beef supply coming tomorrow or in 3 days or next week. We have plenty of beef that's still being produced. And so when you do get the chance to purchase it and get your hands on some, hopefully, you know, you take the precautions to freeze what you're not going to use right away. And then we're going to be putting out lots of great content about how to make sure that you're thawing that beef properly before you prepare it and thinking through food safety aspects.
Well, not only do I think of opportunities for the consumer, Karen, but I think of the opportunities for your cattle producers as well. I mean, there have been a lot of people reaching out either to purchase ground beef that they have for sale, even some virtual agriculture in the classroom type opportunities that your farmers can jump on.
You know, I was amazed how quickly that conversation had turned on social media to people wanting to source either a quarter of an animal or direct marketing some products. And the Department of Agriculture has been promoting their Minnesota Grown program. And we have many cattle producers that, you know, do direct market a little bit, but maybe are not part of that program. So this could definitely be an opportunity where they explore how do you utilize that course of marketing to connect with your community and help your neighbor. But then also, I think it's this interesting angle that, you know, trying to see the light at the end of the tunnel, I hope that consumers in the United States realize how wonderful our food system is in the United States and how wonderful our cattle farmers and ranchers are. And the fact that we can get by for a couple months without sporting events and without, you know, entertainment, but we can't get by without food. And so hopefully this kind of reconnects consumers and the whole U.S. with what really matters. And hopefully we appreciate those folks that are not only in healthcare, but are working the front lines of those packing plants and the food companies to make sure that our grocery stores are stocked. And yes, we have great resources with Ag in the Classroom in Minnesota, connecting you with some online curriculum. And there's also some really interesting videos on Beef is What's for Dinner that, you know, can kind of give you a little bit of a taste of what it's like on the ranch or in the feed yard. And hopefully as we're all home with our kids trying to evaluate how to keep them entertained, we can do some of those things and also get the kids in the kitchen because it's kind of a good opportunity for them to learn. And we'll be spending a lot of time in our kitchens over the next couple of weeks, I can imagine.
Well, Karen, as we wrap up this conversation here, and it's always good to keep it on a high point, but is there anything at all that we forgot to talk about? I know a lot will and hopefully change between now and next week. So,
yeah, I mean, it does sound like cattle markets, there's speculation that next week we'll be moving things upward. And I do just want to remind producers that though sometimes there's not something tangible that they can see that's being done, you know, I'm amazed by the U.S. members of Congress from Minnesota, as well as our elected officials in the Congress side, they're very focused on making sure that, you know, they're helping if they can, and they're realizing this is an issue. So being patient and recognizing that this is something that everyone sees as a problem, and we're just trying to figure out the best way to handle a solution that makes sense for everybody.